You're listening to the GAA Hour with Darren O'Sullivan on Sports Joe.
Hi there, you're very welcome along to this week's episode of the GAA Hour with me, Darren O'Sullivan. I'm delighted to be joined in studio by Tyrone, Kyle Coney and Kevin's Cian Mackey. How are you doing, boys?
Good to be here.
Good.
Yeah, All-Ireland final build-up. I'm lucky enough that I'm coming into this week very happy. Bit smug. Delighted with life. But yeah, it's funny that it's kind of crept up on us. Still feels a bit weird. I'm getting asked a lot actually about it. Do I think it's the right thing? I'm not sure what your opinions are on it. It does seem strange, but I actually don't think there's any right answer at the moment.
Yeah, it's definitely strange for everyone, and no one's really used to having All-Ireland finals in mid-July.
Yeah.
But look, as you said, there's probably no right or wrong answer, but you know, from a Tyrone point of view, I know that there's a few of the lads away enjoying life in the States, and you know, it gives them opportunity to experience a bit of life when they're still playing intercounty football, that you know, they can go and get a holiday or two and a bit of downtime, because I know our club championship doesn't start to the end of September, but it's unusual. It'll take a wee bit of getting used to, but it's definitely it's a strange one saying All-Ireland final in mid-July.
Yeah, what do you reckon, King? Because just even on RT with the hurling, and they're still on about it, but I don't know. What do you reckon?
I'd be a fan of it. Like, it's same as anything else. You have time then, we'll say, even like, we'll say school teachers, they're playing football, they don't get a chance to get away then on a holiday. If they're an All-Ireland final in September time, it's not as easy to get time off work and stuff like that. So I think it's a big thing just to push with it and keep it going, you know?
Yeah. No, I like that. And I suppose All-Ireland final week, the build-up. And I met a fella from Dunboyne just over the weekend back in my own bar. Like, and we were chatting away, and he was like, geez, I remember I used to meet Kerry lads. We used to always stay out in Dunboyne. And I've been imagining that's where Kerry will be staying this weekend, because I know Jack was a big fan of it. But I was just trying to think back to the build-up the night before the All-Ireland. And we used to always, without fail, walk from Dunboyne Castle into the town, and you know, locals be so used to seeing us, and I was telling the man how we used to always do it, go into the town or whatever, and he was, oh, what would you do in town? I said, go up to the shop for an ice cream and some jellies for the night before or whatever. Like, but it'll be interesting now to see what the boys are doing this year and all, because I know I don't think many of them be eating too many jellies before the final, but just to build up getting ready for it now, I'd say the excitement must be great this week, even though 2 weeks is all they had to prepare for it, so it'll be tough enough going. And most of the big games we would have all played, and you get 3 or 4 weeks, so it's a strange enough build-up for both counties, you know, Galway and Kerry.
But there's something, like, maybe like, it potentially is better, you know, because when you have 3 weeks, there's too much time to mull it over, and you, even for managements, you change your mind so many times, I'm sure, as a manager, of matchups and who's going to be the right man for who. And with 3 weeks between a semi-final and a final, you can actually play yourself out of form. You could be flying coming in, and then next of all, you hit this little lull, and then you're coming into a big match after playing a bad week's football. Whereas 2 weeks, it's all short, sharp stuff. There's no messing about. It's just all sharp stuff. And I think it's really good. And it seems that the quality of football this year has probably been as good as it's been in years, you know. So I think players themselves are liking it. They know the season's finishing here. It's not dragging on. You know, it's 6 to 7 months. Get in, get it done, and then we've a bit of time away. Like, even looking at all the Cavan boys there, they're all away on holidays now, do you know, and they're getting their 2-3 weeks before the club championship starts. Do you know, it's absolutely brilliant for them boys, you know. So I think for, like, players in outside of football, I think it's brilliant. Mm. Like, without a doubt, brilliant.
Yeah, and even I actually found some of the times you'd see the hardest part about playing, you know, the longer season is trying to stay in form between a provincial final, quarterfinal, semi-final, because those 4 weeks, when you break it down, there could be 3 or 4 months there where you're having to keep your form right up there, whereas now you could, like, they've probably played the last 3 rounds, the last 5 or 6 weeks, it's a bit easier to keep your form up. But I suppose going into this final, Kerry seem to be red hot favourites, but they haven't won it since 2014. Kyle, do you think that's going to add a bit of pressure to them?
I'm not so sure that'll add any pressure to them. Internally, I don't think so. Externally, that's the way it might want to be portrayed, that they haven't been one from 2014, and the media hype that. But internally, I think Jack will have them well grounded. He'll have them jumping out of their skin, ready to go. But they are favourites, but I don't see them as red hot of favourites as a lot of people make them, because the second half against Dublin will give Galway a lot of positives. It'll give them a lot of hope that if they tie, you know, certain individuals down, tie Paddy Clifford down, limit what David can do when he gets the ball, which is not an easy task, but I do think that last 35 minutes that Dublin put in will give Galway a lot of hope. It's just if they get their matchups right, which we talked a bit about off air, that, you know, they don't probably have out and out defenders. They have a lot of attacking defenders that want to get up the pitch. If they can get the matchups as right as they can, they could be in this game right to the death.
Yeah, and Keane, like we said, look, Kerry are favourites, and a lot of people might. Is there pressure on Galway? Like, it's obviously a long time since they won All Ireland, but maybe they've got there, not under the radar, but maybe a bit unexpected from the start of the year. How do they approach it now? I suppose everyone thinks of Galway in the free flow in football, and they have beautiful footballers. Do they approach it that way? Are they a bit more tentative? It's hard to know which way they go into it. It's a great opportunity for them.
Yeah, like, both counties traditionally play fantastic football. They're probably two of the best counties over the last 20, 30 years to play the game the right way, or the so-called right way. Galway are going to do whatever it needs to be done. They've done it against Derry. Do you know, the versatility in their play is huge, and that has them in an All-Ireland final. I do think that the second half in the Dublin-Kerry game was more, this Kerry unit have never beaten Dublin. So if Dublin came at them at all, Kerry were going to get shaky, you know, because they hadn't got it. You see how much it meant to them when they won the game. Like, that was just, we've beaten Dublin. That's the monkey off the back. Like, that was a huge moment for this group of players going forward. So I think if Kerry can keep themselves grounded, concentrate on winning the game and play the way they can, I think they comfortably win this game by 5 or 6. But if they don't do that, you're writing off Galway, and Galway are a team with fantastic footballers from 1 to 15 or 1 to 26 even. Do you know, they have loads of footballers who can hurt you. So Kerry really need to make sure they don't take their foot off the gas. They need to approach the first half the way they approach Dublin. Yeah. And I think then they won't lack confidence in the second half, because I think the Dublin factor of never beating Dublin, and Dublin got their little bit of a purple patch, that's what really got Kerry going and got them shaky. So I think if they start the game like they start against Dublin, I think Kerry could be a comfortable winner here, but it all depends on their mindset going in.
Yeah, I'm. When I think about the game, like, we talk about the good footballers in Galway and the good footballers in Kerry, and you're thinking, oh, it'll be a beautiful game. I think it'll be quite ugly, but going back to the Kerry-Dublin game, the first half by Kerry was brilliant, and watching Shaun Shane, David Clifford especially, in full flow, it was just brilliant to be able to sit back and watch it. But the second half, as you said, the nerves did kick in, but up to that point, Kerry hadn't been tested. And even though they lost the second half, I just think their reaction to it, their ability to dig deep, players like Brian Begley, who came short for that free, or short for the kick out, having the balls or the courage to actually come, Paul Murphy having the intelligence and the courage to kick instead of punching safe, I just think that win, even going forward past this final, is going to be huge. And I suppose the burden of not beating Dublin for so long, and I suppose Dublin constantly catching them, I just think maybe a weight has been lifted. So it will be interesting. But the first half the next day, Kyle, I think the first 15, 20, maybe even the full first half, I think we might be in for a very, very slow burner, a bit like the Derry-Galway semi-final. What do you think?
The last three teams to beat Dublin have all got beaten, so sorry to bring it in a bigger
trying to avoid that.
No, Galway in the last two games, but in the Derry game and the Armagh game, started really, really slow. They kicked a lot of wides against Derry. Derry obviously a lot of men back in the Galway were shooting from outside the scoring zone. Against Armagh, it took them a long time to settle, to find their feet. So in that regard, it could be a slow burner with the way they'll want to put body behind the ball. Absolutely, they'll want to frustrate Kerry. They'll take, you know, if they've watched games over the last year, they'll want to do what Tyrone done a few years ago and frustrate Kerry, get as many bodies around the scoring zone and try and frustrate them that way. But in terms of Kerry, the first half of last day was just a joy to watch, the way they moved the ball through the lines. And I spoke to you earlier about how their foot passing does a lot of work for their forwards. You know, David gets it on the half turn. David Moran looks up. I don't think he looks for anyone else. Only David Clifford. Potty's the same. It's just get that ball in, get it to the right side of the forward and let him do his damage. But if Galway want to be in this game, they're going to have to put a lot of bodies behind the ball, frustrate them and hit them on the break as much as they can, get bodies up the field, you know, keep Damien Comer as close to goals as possible and get the boys to come off him. You know, it's easy saying that, but that's the way I see the first half going. A lot of frustration for Kerry. If they can manage to close that scoring zone area, which is, you know, Kerry leave it open. The D is always open.
Yeah, well, we've been caught by that D a couple of times, but you mentioned there, they did shoot. Galway did have a lot of wides and they shot from kind of outside what we would call the scoring zone. And I was wondering, was that maybe a bit of a ploy by them to shoot from maybe further out to try and draw out the opposition defenders, Derry defenders, Armagh defenders, instead of trying to get into that maybe better zone where you get turned over? Is it a case of we can shoot from out here? If we score, great, we have a point and the defenders have to start pushing out. And if we don't score, look, we're fine, it goes dead, we reset and we go again. So it might be an option that Galway do that again against Kerry, where they shoot from a bit further out, where if you get it, it's a bonus. And if you don't and it goes wide, you're still set up at the back and Kerry have to travel 140 yards at the ball, Keane.
Yeah, well, the way the setup against Armagh and Derry, they knew it was going to be all blocked up. So I'm sure for the week or two building up, they were thinking to themselves, boys, our scoring zone is going to be 10 to 15 yards further out. Now, they have the clientele to kick scores. Conroy, McDade, Daly, all these boys can kick long-distance scores. And it's mad to think Conroy could miss two and someone else would just kind of go, oh, I mightn't just shoot again. Conroy, give me the ball. I go again. Yeah. And he'll end up kicking three. Do you know, like, he has that confidence in his own ability, which is great. I just think the whole game really, like, Kerry need versatility in both defence and attack. In the first half against Mayo, they just constantly played their kicking game, which is a great game to watch. But the amount of ball they kicked into Clifford and two men on him. Yeah. Do you know, like, Clifford is brilliant, but if he's drawn two men away, Kerry have enough good footballers to say, we'll use someone else.
The other part of that is, and someone we might have forgotten about, is Paul Gainey was quiet the last day against Dublin, and you can't leave Paul Gainey. Paul is very rarely quiet in two games, very rarely, and he could end up being the match winner because so much attention does go on David and Shawnee and now Paddy. Very few teams have four good markers, five good markers. And look, Paul, in fairness, Paul and his wife, Shun, had a baby as well recently, so maybe a bit of extra tiredness had crept in as well there. But he was a bit off colour, a bit quieter than usual. And, like, I'd be there going, he could be Kerry's match winner, like that. He's coming towards the end of it. He'd love to be going out on a high. I'm not trying to retire him here now or anything. But, you know, we've so much focus on David Clifford, Paddy Clifford, Shawnee Shea. Like, the likes of Paul Gainey, Stephen O'Brien has done a lot of his best work this year defensively. They could be the match winners the next day.
There's a lot of fires to put out when you mention those names. And you're right in saying that Paul Gainey didn't have his best game the last day. He seemed to be forcing it that wee extra bit. The normal things that he does ever so well, he does the basics so well, his kick passing, his fist passing, he assists a lot of scores, he gets a lot of scores. He just seemed to force it a wee touch. He maybe knew that he wasn't 100% in things that he was doing, so he maybe tried to, when you know as a player yourself, you try to do that wee bit extra, or try and force a pass and it doesn't come off, just that you know that you might be, you know, being pulled off, or you might be that person who's coming off. But as you say, he doesn't be regularly quiet in two games. And he normally chips in, he scores a lot of goals. Mm-hmm. He gets a lot of goals for Kerry. But on the other hand, you have Killian Spillane comes on. Last day I thought maybe Tony Brosnan was going to come on. You know, it's probably a mix-up between the two of them. So there's a lot of fires. No, David's going to get probably 5 or 6 points anyway. He's going to get, you know, whether he gets a goal or not. Shawnee kicks the frees. So it's whether Galway can limit the rest of the players chipping up on the scoreboard. If they do, that gives them a better chance of being in the game. But there's a lot of fires to put out. And when you mention all those names on the Kerry side, there's not a lot of teams have four or five dogs that like to do man-marking jobs.
Yeah, and look, I suppose the other side of that is a lot of them players were there last year as well, and Tyrone nullified that threat really well throughout the game. And from a defensive point of view, you're looking at Kerry, and they've been a lot better this year, and Jack has brought in Pettitelli, and together as a management team, they've really shored up that defence. And look, they'd conceded up to Dublin game, one goal in 14 games, and Costello's goal the last day was ridiculous, to be fair, to finish. And you're looking at the Galway game from the semi-final, like, who was the main man? Comer. You look at the Kerry defenders, who'd you put on him? Like, if he's in that form.
Yeah, you see, he's got a little bit of everything, you know. Like, he's phenomenally strong, he has pace, he's direct, and he can kick a pint off both feet.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe years ago you might have just thought of Comer as a ball winner. Like, you think that now, you're on a hiding to nothing, because his ability to do absolutely everything. Kerry, physicality-wise, you're looking at Morley, but is he... He's not a full back line man, like, you know. His turn is what lets him down. And
the other thing is, playing him at centre back has more or less been the main reason why Kerry have shored up. Look, maybe not the it's not the only reason, but I definitely put it as the main reason. Like, he's just so important to them out there in that position, available for passes, kind of dictating, communicating with fellas. So I think it is just going to be Jason Foley. He's been very good all year, but has the pace, strength-wise, then you're wondering, because, like, Comer was brilliant the last day, and while Shane Walsh was very good from freeze, he was maybe off-colour the last couple of games, and he has that attitude, that bit of dog in him as well, that just give me the ball. So Kerry have a lot of questions to answer as well in the defence, in terms of, because Galway have as good a forwards as anyone.
He was the one that wanted the ball whenever it was 4-1 against Derry. He seen as soon as he picked up that ball, he was going straight for goals, tapped it over the bar with the left foot, he broke a couple of tackles. Jason Foley probably will be that man. I don't imagine it'll be Tadhg Morley, who's played as a more or less sweeper for most of the year. But that's one thing that I was saying during the week, that you've, for Galway, whenever it gets to an attacking part of the field, you have to go and designate someone to Tadhg Morley to engage. So if that means someone from Galway goes and stand beside him and go for initial ball, 9 times out of 10 the sweeper makes that initial run with him, which will pull somebody out of the middle. And Galway have a lot of strong runners, and you down the middle, Conroy, Shane Walsh has been killing McDade. So that's something that I would think Galway should try and push someone onto him when they're in that attacking third of the pitch, just to try and see, right, are you going to make the decision and go with this man, or are you going to still sit? Because he has been a huge influence for Kerry, and that, I would imagine, that'll have a lot to do with Paddy Talley, because Tyrone notoriously loved to use the sweeper.
Yeah, no, I just think the matchups on both sides are just so interesting. Even like we mentioned Shane Walsh there, and I'm not going, everyone automatically is saying Tom Sullivan to go with him, and I'm like, going, does that bring Tom very far away? And then you're thinking away from his own goal, or maybe it's another idea to put Tom on Shane Walsh and have Shane Walsh chasing Tom a small bit around the place. So there's big question marks, and like you mentioned there, trying to pull Tadhg out of that middle, and the strong runners like McDade and Conroy, probably as of now, are the two all-star midfielders, Cian.
Yeah, well, see, they can kick from distance, and the big thing that brought Comer into the game the last day was to kick the one or two from distance. Then they pushed out, and then there was that dink into the middle third. So, like, I think Kerry need to just go, right, Morley, stay in the D.
Yeah.
Do you know? You keep Comer quiet, you keep Shane Walsh quiet with a tagger. You're probably 50% there. Now, it's probably harsh on the other players, but they are so important, not just on the ball, but just to lift the team. Like, I was at the game the last day, and Galway were kind of dead until Comer himself lifted the whole thing. Like, just winning the ball and driving at them. He lifted the whole thing. So, like, if you keep them quiet, it's nearly like the whole heart of them is gone for a period of time. And if you're out of the game for any period of time against Kerry, you're under severe pressure. So, I like, them two matchups, and probably someone on Conroy as well, like, them three matchups for me are huge. Whether Kerry have the boys to do it, the same way as we don't know if Galway have the boys to do it to Kerry. You know, it's very intriguing. And both teams have boys that are capable of 4 or 5 points, like, on the fringes, we'll say, that they're not the main men, the typical main men. Them boys can still kick 1-2, 1-3. You know, so I think the one-on-one matchups is going to be a huge bearing on this game. Like, if Comer can be kept quiet, like, I think Tom O'Sullivan, for me, it's a no-brainer, because he's so good on the ball. Like, he'll match him for pace, he'll match him for energy. you know, so
kick a point on the other end.
Kick a point, you know, so like that's probably what Derry didn't have. Derry's man marker, McCluskey, could match him but couldn't damage him the other way. Or not saying he couldn't, he didn't try it. Yeah. So I think if Tom's there and Tom goes and kicks 2 points, then next of all, like if that was me, I'd be starting to give out to myself. I'd be like, what are you doing? Like, he's making a fool of you. You know, that kind
you
of
you have to give credit to Galway too. Not a lot of teams had put Brenton Rodgers in full back. You know, Pádraig Joyce was smart and saying to Comer, any chance we get, go and stand on the edge of the square. And he
did
ultimately
it, yeah.
Got the goal or the turn on him and stuck it in the net as well.
Yeah.
You know, Brendan is a good full back, but he hadn't played a lot of football there this year. He'd wanted to put everybody else in the back foot.
Yeah.
But Pádraig is, he's very astute along the line. He's tactically aware.
Yeah, and that's probably something like we mentioned in this podcast that he said in his first year getting the job, that I'm here to win All-Ireland. And it was a bit, you know, a good bit off that. And even the first year, they weren't really up to much. They did okay, like, but they were trying to play there. But he's probably learnt that sometimes you can't do it exactly the way you want to do it, and he's evolved in that sense. And we're on about matchups, and a big one for me, we mentioned the boys midfield, McDade and Conroy, and geez, I've loved watching both of them all year. And in the last two games, Dave Moran's come in for Kerry, and he, like, obviously I've played with David for long enough, I'd be a huge fan of his anyway. He's been exceptional for Kerry, but still think there's a big question mark there. People are like, will David start, will he come on? Dermot Connor for me might be under pressure, and he's been the number one midfielder up to now, but he hasn't performed in the last couple of games. Jack Barry came in the last day, did his usual role on Brian Fenton. I think by starting David, you're giving yourself another sweeper in terms of Tighe. You're going to have to push up at times and mark someone. David has that intelligence. I thought he did it really well last year against Tyrone, where I think he hurt his hamstring, so he couldn't go up and down, but he actually just sat back and he was the man intercepting. So there's a lot of big calls there as well from the Kerry point of view. I'm always worried going into a game when you don't know what way you're going to line out.
Yeah, well, look, I'd assume the management are 90% sure who they have. There's probably a toss-up, but I think David Moran's huge for Kerry. Like, even for pressing a kick out, if he's there on one side of the field, the kick out's not going that side of the field. You know, so then Kerry can kind of half overload the other side. Like, he is a man mountain. Now, you talk about big midfielders, he's a huge midfielder and he has a brain. He can kick past the ball. And we spoke about the last time before the semi final, whether he has 40, 50, 60 minutes in the legs, you use him to the maximum because he's smart enough to know when to go, when not to go. Do you know? And I just think he's a huge cog. And if whoever wins the middle third, their forwards are going to get more ball. And that's going to be the winning and losing of this game. Like, and if it's primary possession from a kick out, of your own kick out, and bang into David Clifford, they don't get a chance. I think he's the big plus for Kerry. Now, whether Jack's thinking the same way as I'd be thinking, I don't know, maybe he's thinking of legs in the middle of the field. I feel a big man like him, if he's fit to go, he has to be utilised.
Well, the two Galway boys probably are more mobile on the ground in terms of getting up and down the pitch, but for me it's a no-brainer. David Moore has to play. He has to, whatever length of time he is. I know we got 70 minutes against Mayo. The game wasn't a frantic speed. It was played at a bit of a slower pace, but for me, intelligence at county level is something that's very undervalued, because, you know, David knows when to kick the ball. He dropped one very, very unusual that led to the cost. Yeah. And you don't normally see that mistake from...
That probably was just the tiredness creeping in there as well with the heat, because like we were on about there, the mobility, the first couple of balls, I think it was Tom Lahiff got the last day, he ran him because he was trying to run at David. Look, David stuck with him, and look, you're not going to expect David to be up and down for 70 minutes anymore, but I'd be in the same lines as he. If you can get good 40 minutes out of him, or 50 or whatever it is, you get that out of him, and then you bring on a bit of extra legs or something. That's the way I'd be thinking as well.
If Kerry or you know, if they're deep in their own half, you throw the ball to David Moore, there's a good chance he's clearing a line with a kick pass. He's finding someone on the halfway line or slightly past it. So for me, he starts, and just who the partner, I would imagine it'll be Dermot O'Connor, just the two of them in the middle of the field, and they might designate someone till whenever someone's always running at them to pick up Conroy or else McDade, just to give that with better extra protection for if David Moore is dropping back a wee bit.
Yeah, Connery's not a box-to-box midfielder anymore either. Like, he's not. He's,
well, that's the other thing.
He sits,
Connery's
wrong. He wants to get himself into the pocket, same way as David. So you're kind of like for like. And then McDade, he's your engine. He's your man that'll break the line. He'll go hard. Then you have your man, whichever you feel is the best out of the other two boys, to pick up him. Do you know? But if you go with two runners, you're nearly... Galway's then dictating the matchups. Do you know? In my eyes, when you're setting out your team, you have to set out your team to be able to dictate the matchups. So if you can scupper their ideas of marking someone by making a half back go into cornerback or such and such, you have to be able to dictate all the matchups or 90% of the matchups. And I think with Moore in midfield, you're dictating who the matchups are. Moore's going to Conroy, and McDade then gets picked up by a runner. Whereas if you've two runners, do you know which is which? Yeah. Conroy will then win in the air. Do you know? So I just think David Moore.
I know last year, specifically speaking till Michael O'Neill, his primary job on every kick out was to stand in front of David Moore. That was
just so good in the air.
You can't give him the front because he's too big to get round to get up and catch the ball. So you have to have some kind of protection for him to stop his run, and then someone to come from behind. So you know, a lot of matchups and a lot of, you know, it's tactically it's so up in the air, where if you get that 5% wrong, it can go to the winning or losing the game.
Yeah, like that. There is so many different alternatives, and because you just don't know which way that each team's going to line out or what initial tactic is going to be. There's going to be a bit of feeling each other out. Another, what looks like might be a big blow for Kerry is Gavin White. You don't think it's that big a blow?
No.
Putting you under the bus.
We say off camera, shouldn't we put on camera? No, look, at Gavin White's a serious operator and great pace. I just think sometimes, like against Mayo, they knew he was going to carry ball. And he was carrying ball and getting turned over. Do you know? So, like, he needs, like, if he could give and go, jeepers, I know I wouldn't like to be running after him. But if he's carrying the ball and you get yourself goal side of him, it's a lot harder to get going then. Do you know, look, he is a big loss, don't get me wrong, but he's not as big as we'll say a Tagger or like your Tom O'Sullivan or one of your forwards.
I think if Tom is gone, you're carrying.
Yeah, you're in trouble. Huge trouble. Like you have players there that can come in and do what Gavin's doing. Gavin is kind of like your Jack McCaffrey-esque player.
I'm going to jump in there now. I rarely jump in.
You're going to make a call here.
I'm going to make a call.
This is huge.
I don't know, do we have players that can do what he does?
I'll get turned over.
That's a deep. I'm just looking at the bench, and like you've Gavin Crowley, who hasn't played a lot of football this year, and you've Paul Murphy, who prefers it on the other side. But I think if Gavin White isn't right, they're your two options currently on the bench. You've Gavin Crowley and Paul Murphy. I think you start Paul Murphy automatically because he's been around, top player. But I'd say, coming off, and he wouldn't have a lot of football played either. He's been coming on for 20 minutes, 50 minutes. Tough ask for him to last 70 odd. And then you're lacking experience coming on. And it was his experience against Dublin that did the business. So even though the defence has been 100 times better this year, really organised, same bodies, like we don't have the same options in defence as
I would think. Now, I really like how Gavin White plays. I probably envy people who have got speed because I never was blessed with it. So
he genuinely, no, if he walked, he's like one of them real life action men. He just goes up like a machine.
Yeah, he seems to have frightening speed. Reminds me a bit of how Owen McLaughlin plays for wing back for Mayo as well. He probably got turned over a lot of times against Mayo, and then obviously coming off with a knee injury against Dublin. But a lot of his ball, I thought against Dublin, he was given sideways. He didn't go as hard. Because maybe they highlighted that in their video work, that, you know, you've had three or four turnovers, you need to stop going into tackle. So a lot of his ball was sideways, and then he did pick up the knock. But when you have that option of someone you playing it into the half-forward lane and someone like Gavin White coming like a train, or else someone, when you give it to someone of a stand and start, like very rarely you can get someone just to take off like that and breaks the line, that gets you out of trouble. So in that instance, I think he's going to be a big loss for Kerry, because they don't have a huge pile of pace to take them out. Tom O'Sullivan, probably Gavin White's the other one. You know, Tag Morley's not probably the quickest player on two legs either. So just to get them out of trouble, to get them out of that, you know, defensive mode, he can be a, it'll be a big blow, I think, just to, for that reason.
Yeah, but that's exactly what he has. He has that explosiveness. But I remember watching in the Mayo game thinking, oh, geez, will he stop going into contact? If the Mayo are the one team.
They'd love it. Yeah, they'd just love it. Eat it up. But, and they looked like they highlighted that to do that. Then you give him his 4 yards. You know, he's going to go at you.
Then meet him.
And then meet him. Mm-hmm. You know, like, if he was running without the ball and the ball was into you and him coming off now that's a different animal. That's the animal that you could buy into.
You can't really mark that.
You
can't touch him because, you know, if you stop someone's run and knock them, it's a black jersey. You sort of have to, then you have to match someone to go, go with them.
Yeah, because, like, when he's carrying the ball, if you get yourself 5 yards goal side of him, he's running and you're starting to run. He has to play the ball. Then you smash him. Like, whereas he's running without the ball, as you say, I can't actually touch him. And then when he gets close to me, I'm running out of legs and he's gone because he has that pace. But I just think, like, the last day you were saying he was going lateral, like, he needs to be able to, like, give it and go. Yeah. It, like, just because he's not told not to bring it into contact doesn't mean he can't go forward. Or
recognise whenever someone has the ball, you know, and has made a kick pass or made a fist pass, recognise that situation where I can get myself onto the next pass.
Like you had said, David Moran gets the ball, kicks David Clifford. Like, if I had his pace, David Moran gets the ball, I'm gone. Take a chance. We have enough boys back.
Owen McLaughlin does that really well for Mayo.
And like, if you're a wing forward and you knew every time David Moran's getting the ball, you were going to have to run 80 metres after him, good luck. I'd be hamstring, I'd be sore. Or you know, like, you would be like.
But then, like, what you're actually saying there is something Kerry don't actually do very well. Do you know, in terms of, let's say, David Moran gets it, you know where he wants to put it. We don't run off Clifford very well.
That's probably because he turns and kicks it over the bar.
Yeah, there is that expectation. I do think it's something that Kerry have to get better
at. They like to isolate him.
Yeah.
They like to isolate him, you know, to give him that. He is so good off right or left that they don't really need someone round him as such because they want him to take the
initiative. More often than not, he does something himself, yeah.
He does a bit of magic himself or take someone on, but it would add another string to the bow in terms of Kerry if they got runners, you know. Even Shami doesn't.
Yeah, but you know, it is something. If you're a defender, like, obviously you're trying to get as tight as you can to Clifford. If there's someone running off him, you have to obviously take a yard off him, you know. So it just kind of makes him honest. But, like, we've drifted onto David Clifford, and you'd imagine Sean Kelly will be the man to mark him.
It's a tough call. Sean Kelly's so good going the other way too, like.
Yeah,
it's
like, even when Finian here, just be honest about, like, he loves him out the field and everything he brings to the game. And I'd imagine they'll have to sacrifice that to put him on him. Do they double him?
Yeah, look, it's kind of one of them things. They'll want him on him, but they'll also want to try and tell him to go every now and again. Because Galway, to win this game, have to take a chance here or there. Like, realistically, they have to take a chance. They're not going to go toe-to-toe with them, but if he's with Clifford, doing well on Clifford, he has to make a bomb out. And if he sets up a score, it lifts the whole thing or gets on the end of a score. It's just who is left to do the job when he makes them big runs. You know, because Clifford's not going to run back with him. He's clearly told not to.
Yeah,
you know,
he passes
lads on. Yeah. You know, so, like, it's one of them things. Who picks up Clifford when Kelly does make them runs? Or have to someone else earmarked? We don't know. But from looking from the outside in, you're thinking Kelly is the only one that has the attributes, size, power, pace, you know, to even seems have a chance of marking him.
I'm not sure if you picked up on it, but every time someone gets a turnover off Clifford, it does give them the team. Oisín Mullen won the first couple of balls in, and the whole crowd was nearly like a score to Mayo because you're not expected nearly to get the ball. So that's even they get scenarios where, say, Kelly's away, just get another lad or two lads in the vicinity to not let him stand you up, because for someone so big, even with an ankle injury against Mayo, he burned Paddy Durkin and hung it in the net. You know, he must have blistering pace for a big man. You know, his first few steps must be
big,
crazy.
Long strides in him, yeah. But, like, we'd be on with Galway attacking wise, if Walsh, if Comer, if Daly, if Tierney, do you know, beautiful kickers. Defensively, we've talked about Kerry defensively as well, how much they've improved. Galway have improved a good bit defensively. They were brilliant against Derry. Wasn't ideal to watch, wasn't very pretty in the eye, but they they've learned that sometimes you have to do what you have to do, just get over the line. They're still conceding a lot, especially late on in games. That'll have to be a worry for them, even though they've had the bodies back, they've made it awkward. A lot of the games this year, up to 50, 55, 60 minutes, they've been in a great position. And then it's that last 10. I can't figure out if it's mental or is it physical. And if it's a mental thing that they can't stay switched on, you would worry about them, especially in an All-Ireland final, the big day. They don't have this experience. Not that Kerry have that much of it either, but they've lost one in the last couple of years, so they would have that bit of experience. It's going to be interesting. I think they'll flood the defence in the first half. I think they'll keep bodies back, frustrate Kerry, and bank that their forwards that do stay up have the quality to be able to feed off scraps. I'm not sure you're in agreement with that.
Yeah, well, I do think they'll play certainly defensively, but they're definitely structurally far better defensively. I think personnel-wise, to pick up lads one-on-one, they haven't enough for me, as we talked about, the dogs. You know, every single one of their players are tasty on the ball. You know, I'd prefer a lad not to be able to solo the ball, but to make sure you don't touch the ball. Like, you need one or two of them minimum in a team. Now, they will flood the defence. Now, we look at them and said they've done well against Derry. Derry asked zero questions of them. Like, Derry, the pace Derry brought into the game was lateral, and they ran themselves out laterally. Like, I remember watching them and they were buzzing. I was like, the pace of these boys, but they're going completely side to side. If you're going side to side, it's casual.
Yeah.
And then you inject. You know, Derry never done that. So Galway were never really questioned in that regard. And then they never broke out at phenomenal pace either, Galway. Like, they never turned over a huge ball and burst out of pace. So, like, I think they've realised that in the last 10 minutes they start to fatigue. So they've started to maybe save a bit of energy, you know, because in them other games they were bursting out of defence, getting good scores, and then next of all, coming to the end, they were nearly getting pipped. Whereas I seen them, their game management was so
maybe
much better.
A bit of nervousness, you know, not being, knowing that what's on the line, like even against Armagh, a couple of balls into the square caused complete havoc. The keeper
spilled one and threw one and
Armagh got another goal, and there was near maybe a wee bit of panic in them situations. You know, who the likes of Paul Murphy picked up the ball and gave a nice, you see who wants it then.
Yeah.
You see who actually wants the ball. You know, a lot of the lads have played for Corfin and have been about, but in them situations, and there's 82,000, and it's a different scenario.
It's a different animal.
You know, it's a different
animal,
and you need players who actually want the ball in them tight situations to get you out. And maybe in the last 10 minutes, it could come down to maybe just, instead of going looking at it, I'm just covering rather than going and looking the ball and getting my team out. Or it's hard to know what it comes out. Could be a wee bit of mental stuff as well, just to haven't been in these situations with the county team too many times.
Yeah, and I suppose going into a lot of these games, sometimes you try to look back on previous meetings, especially recent ones, and Galway have had the better. They beat Kerry in 2018 in the Super 8, and a lot of these boys were under 21 in 2017 and would have beaten Kerry in an All-Ireland semi-final. So I've no doubt that they will be drawing on these fairly recent past victories over Kerry to put a bit of belief in the group as well. I don't think they'll be going in fearing Kerry, if that makes sense, but obviously a bit wary of the threat that's there. And somebody from a Kerry point of view who I think they have to be very wary of, and not just because Shane Walsh has all the talent in the world and the speed and the strength and as good a left and a right foot as anybody in the country, he's been quiet the last two games for his own standards. Yes, his frees have been excellent, which you'd expect, but from play he's been quiet, and he's somebody now who wants to be in that same conversation with David Clifford, Con O'Callaghan, Darren McCurry, all these A-class forwards. There's currently a question mark about him, so I think it's a huge game for him. In the last two big games, kind of passed him by, maybe trying a bit too much at times, instead of maybe trying to do something special all the time, instead of just being a constant threat you know, constantly being on the ball, constantly doing the right things, even if they are simple. Yeah. So I think it's going to be a big day for him. It'd be interesting for, like, Tom Sullivan coming out the field, marking him. He'll have his hands full.
Sometimes, a lot of the time, the right option is the first option most of the times. Sometimes when you try and, you know, if someone's going past you and you don't use it and you come around and you try to solo left, solo right and go past someone, it doesn't work. If he could use the first option and get himself back into the game more, he probably tries to something special all the time. He forces it maybe sometimes. If it comes off, unbelievable.
I always find, though, that if a fella doesn't take that first option and has to wheel around, it's because he's not aware of his surroundings.
Yeah.
So maybe it is something that he has to bring into his game. Like, do you know, you'd see him talking in soccer sometimes about, I listened to Roy Keane was actually on about Jack Grealish and about the amount of touches, or maybe it was Souness. One of them was on about all the touches he has, the amount of times he gets fouled. And they said, well, he has to take them touches because he's actually not aware of what's going on around him. And it makes sense sometimes if a fella has have a couple of players and then be looking up. That's too late.
Normally he takes a solo.
Yeah.
The first option's down at the
that's
foot.
That's head down.
How James Morgan marked him the last day, James was all over him. But on the initial play when he picked up the ball, James Morgan always stood about 12, 15 metres off him. I just happened to keep a close eye. I was at the game and I kept a close eye on it. And then he engaged him a bit like we talked about Gavin White. He stood off him and then waited to come in. But what Kerry have to be careful about on Armagh's or Galway's second goal, he drew three players. He's very, because he is so quick, a lot of players seem to drift towards him to, you know, to close him down, and then it leaves someone in the middle. That's what Kerry have got to be careful of, that they don't overcommit towards him. If they have a tiger, commit whenever he's stopped. Now, he was the one down the Hogan Stand side, committed three Armagh bodies and fisted it straight in the middle, and Galway got a goal. But I do think Galway need more out of him from an open play point of view. He was quiet against Armagh from open play. He was quiet against Derry. His free kicks were exceptional. You know, they still need scored. And it takes a special talent to go over and take him from the wrong side with your so-called weaker foot. So he'll want a big performance on the biggest stage.
I do think it's not that he's underperforming. I think he's playing a completely different role than we're used to seeing him play. He used to be the man to get the scores all the time. Now he's the man. Like, I wouldn't say he's a playmaker because he's not the man delivering the ball, but he's countless turnovers. He's working phenomenally hard. You know, we expect this swashbuckling style that we've seen from him. That swashbuckling style of Galway won them nothing. Do you know what I mean? So maybe Pádraig Joyce has told him, look, this is not the game for you, for us to be as good as we can be. We don't want Shane Walsh to be this type of Shane Walsh. If you can do this, because he clearly has an engine, he has to get tagged, he draws in players. Do you know what I mean? Like, we're expecting this from him. He's probably still about here, but just because he's not kicking two or three fantastic points from play, like, his contributions from turnovers, from drawing players in, like, I'd say if he looked over the course of the game and asked the Galway players, they'd be just like, oh, Shane Walsh has given us everything. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
So, oh yeah, like, it's not a case he's not giving everything. It's just when you have your marquee forward, you do expect a bit more.
Comer's the marquee now. Comer's the one.
Well, is it just because of the last couple of games?
Well, he's Shane Walsh playing out around half forward.
Yeah.
You know, so your marquee forward is not going to be half forward, like, realistically.
Do tell Shawnee Shea that.
No, he's centre half forward. But Shawnee's not your marquee. Like, David Clifford is your marquee. Shawnee O'Shea is just, like, an exceptional talent as well. And he's a workhorse.
Yeah.
And he brings the whole thing together. So Shane Walsh is probably...
I'm going to give you a shovel now.
No. Shane Walsh is the Galway equivalent of Shawnee O'Shea.
Yeah.
But Shawnee just probably gets more potential scores from play because they played probably weaker opposition up until Dublin.
He's still the point, and he's still sometimes, like, if you remember the ball he played across the field against Armagh, you don't do that. You need to realise that it's the team. He, you know, I still think he tries the fancy thing more often than not.
Yeah,
like,
well,
that ball
possibly
across
the
field, let Armagh up the pitch again.
Yeah,
that situation you recycle. If you have to go back to your goalie to keep the ball, you don't try across.
Yeah, well, he does have moments, definitely, like that. Now,
it's kind of like game intelligence and maybe a bit of maturity. And moments like that, you can only learn from him, because nearly cost him the game. But no, like, from a Kerry point of view, you would fear look, I just thought he'd be quieter the last couple of games, and he has everything, and he does seem like a fella who lives for these type of big games. These are the games he wants to play in. But I know you like sitting on the fence, Cian. Big fan of that fence. I'm gonna get you to call it, lads. Cian, I go to you first.
I said at the start, if Kerry can get the start that they want, I can't see them in bet. But I'll definitely be going with Kerry by 4 or 5 points in the air.
You took it down a couple of points. Jeez, it was six or seven earlier.
She's our good pundit spices. I'd be talking them up, you know.
I would still be on for a Kerry victory. I don't see it as comfortable as a 5 or 6 point win. I see it being a whole lot tighter. I think Galway will relish the opportunity to frustrate Kerry. They'll want to defend in numbers. They'll want to break. They'll live off what they've done against Derry. I think their motto against Derry was stop the goals that Derry have scored five the previous day against Clare. Stop the goals and we go a long way of winning the game. We maybe don't see Derry kicking 16 or 17 points to win the match. So I'm going to say Kerry by two, but I wouldn't rule out that in 70 plus minutes we're close to a draw.
There could be extra time and penalties.
I'm just going to say Kerry by two.
Now you tell us what you have to tell us on screen, and then tell us how you really feel.
I was gonna duck away there without saying a word. No, I think the first half is gonna be, genuine. I think it's gonna be one of them first halves we want to forget. I think it's gonna be fairly dire stuff. To be fair, I do think Kerry by 5 or 6. I just think they have that experience now. I think I've been going on about, Jack's the man. Jack was the man to come back. Fully believed that. And I kept saying he was wrong. Probably wasn't giving Jack the credit. Like, Jack is obsessed with football. He came out recently saying the days of having a proper full-time job and being into county are going, because it's just too full on. Obviously, he's retired now. But Jack is obsessed with football, and he'll have everything sorted going into this game. I just think there's been a different look to Kerry this year. I'd be confident to win by 5 or 6, I think, in the end. But it will be a difficult game. I just think that extra bit of spark, obviously we talk about David and Paddy Clifford and Shawnee Shea, but I just think it's the players we don't mention as much. Stephen O'Brien, Shawnee Shea, or Paul Gainey, the likes of Killian Splann coming off the bench, maybe Tony Brodson. I think we have a couple of more aces that can come in if the so-called bigger names are a bit quieter.
So what you're saying, Tyrone Mann to come down to help you is doing...
Yeah. Well, I don't mind once he helps us. I don't mind. It'd be a change. But I want to give a big thanks to my two guests today, Tyrone's Kyle Coney and Cavan's Cian Mackey. Thanks for joining me, lads.
No problem. Thanks for having us.
I'm delighted to be joined on the line now by Kerry ladies captain Anna Galvin. Anna, how are you doing?
Hello, Darren. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. You're very happy looking anyway. Congratulations. Massive win the weekend.
certainly waking up a happy woman today, in fairness. It makes Monday morning a little bit easier when you've a win under your belt after the weekend.
Yeah, must be some buzz in the camp at the moment getting ready for the All-Ireland final. I suppose the fact that it's so quick as well, you've only 2 weeks to wait, or less than 2 weeks to wait. The whole place must have been buzzing in the dressing room after.
Yeah, I got absolutely. I think everyone was just shattered and over the moon and relieved to get through. Semi-finals are tough going in that there's kind of that sort of bit of pressure on that... You just have to, they're there to just be gotten over, aren't they? But definitely everyone is absolutely thrilled to be back in the final. I don't think it really sunk in even with me for a little while until the day after. It was more yesterday that it kind of was sinking in that we were actually heading into the final in 2 weeks' time. Yeah. The buzz is deadly. The buzz actually after the Armagh game was brilliant, and you could kind of keep that going because it was only a 1 week turnaround.
Yeah,
we have a 2 week turnaround now, and I think we need to come back down from the buzz. It's hard to keep that energy level up the hook for two weeks.
Yeah, I met you the day after the Armagh game. We had the legend Mary Jo Curran in our side as well, watching the men's team. So but like you said, the semi-finals, you know, they're actually a very nerve-wracking game because you've so much at stake. I think it's different to a final that it can be hard to, like, you lose a semi-final and it's just all gone. You have so long to wait. Whereas a final, it's a bit different. I just find that semi-finals are always that bit harder at times, you know, whereas a final, you know what's at stake. But I suppose you mentioned off air, you didn't realise how much you'd won by, but like the attacking, obviously defensively you're very strong, but attacking wise, this Kerry team is very clinical.
And I know a lot of people have been commenting on our defence, our defensive setup and stuff, and we've certainly worked really hard on that. And Kayleigh Cronin got player of the match the other day, which is, you know, unreal. She's been player of the year so far for us. She's just been immense. But yeah, like you said, the girls have just, you know, they're putting like four goals into the back of the net, some going and four the last day as well. And you know, everyone's well able to take their points, and it's great. You know, we had a good range of scorers as well. You know, obviously Louise Niever-Hertig is one of our top scorers all the time. She's just, she's in another class altogether. Incredible. But the spread of scorers has increased massively this year. We've worked a lot on our conversion rate and being that bit more clinical in front of goal. And when you give that full forward line a bit of space, they'll certainly exploit it.
Yeah, and I'd know Declan Quill and Dara Long fairly well. And would ye openly have set this out as one of the goals this year, or is it a case of taking it competition by competition and just seeing how you're progressing throughout the year? Or was it one of them things kind of saying, look, we're building nicely and All-Ireland is in our grasp if we can put it all together?
I think we set out at the start of the year and, you know, we sat down at the start of the year. We were very much so, you know, we knew that within our team, there's a huge belief, and we kind of named it then that, you know, we're building here for an All-Ireland from the very beginning. But then once that is kind of set out and our main goal is set out, you then have to rein it back in. You can't get over fixated on what's so far down the line. You have to then take it step by step. So there was no doubt about it, we kind of had that belief from the very, very beginning, and All-Ireland has always been in our sights since, you know, every year that we come together, that's what the goal is at the end of the year. But once we had that established and everybody very much so on the same page and knowing that we could get there, we then, you know, took it back and we'd get through the league first. We'd fallen at the final hurdle of that last year and stuff like that. So that was our main focus. And then, you know, we kind of refocused then on Munster. It's always nice to be battling against Cork and trying to get a win over them. And we were unfortunate enough this year, we didn't manage to get ourselves over the line. But yeah, we our resilience this year as well has been immense. We've been very composed. We haven't panicked within games, and then we also didn't panic after losing that game. We just refocused, took the learnings from it, identified where we'd fallen down, and a lot of it had been on stuff that we'd worked really hard on and we just didn't deliver on that given day. So we knew that there wasn't a huge amount of work to do, we just needed to address it and make sure that we didn't do it again. But once it was set out, we then reined it back in and took it piece by piece.
Yeah, and I suppose Louis or Anna, you're lucky. You're a captain this year, and it must be something that your whole family must be buzzing about. A first All Ireland for Kerry since 2012. You're going to be the one leading out the team. Have you? Well, I'm hoping I'm not putting that into your head now, the thought of it. Like, but is it something now you've thought about? You know, that getting out there, leading the team, the parade around Croke Park. It must be something. I know the football is the most important thing, but the buzz of being there in front of the group, like you said, that have put so much into it, to be the one leading them out, it must be something you're immensely proud of.
Oh, yeah. It's class. There's no doubt about that. And sure, it's an honour to be, you know, leading this group of girls as well. They're so brilliant. And you know, the lads are, Declan and Darren, all the management team are excellent to work with. They're just so brilliant in terms of kind of communicating and collaborating with the players. So my job has been so simple. Like, I've had, you know, very little to do. The girls do all the work on the pitch. And then I suppose because it's been really good that we've had that little bit of experience in Croke Park now. We were there for the league final last year, league final this year, and the game at the weekend as well. And it definitely helps to kind of settle the nerves in terms of you know, heading to Croke Park, because it's such a massive occasion and a massive place, and it's class to be playing in the best pitch in Ireland, or the best pitch in the world.
Yeah.
It is deadly now to be leading the girls out, but like I said, it's, you know, it's kind of, you just have to keep calm, carry on, and just to keep focused on the game and what the tasks are at hand, and that is the kind of main priority, really.
Yeah, I think you're being a small bit humble there and there, but I won't pull you up on it. There was a lot of talk there in the last couple of months about the cost of being an inter-county footballer as well, and I can see from where you are now, you're still working away. Is this merger between the GAA and the Ladies Football Association hugely important to continue this growth that the ladies game is on? Because, like, just looking from the outside over the last 5 or 10 years, it is making great strides, but from someone who wouldn't be totally in the know like yourself, it does seem like this merger has to happen to make sure that we're all on an equal playing field, the men and the ladies.
Yeah, and I do think there have been strides taken. Like, I think the GPA joining, merging was, you know, brilliant. You know, the first step, once the players are united, that's huge. And it was really great, like, the solidarity shown by the men's football and the hurling in terms of that, you know, they were all for it as well. So that was a really great kind of boost of confidence and, like I said, sign of solidarity, I suppose, from them. And then this year, the vote has been passed by the GAA, the LGFA and the Camogie Association at Congresses to merge all the associations. But since those votes have been passed, not a whole pile has been done in the meantime. There's been kind of little action out of it. I know these things don't happen overnight, but I suppose we need to see genuine steps being taken and at least kind of timelines being outlined, because otherwise this thing will keep on trundling down the road. Like, it'll just be an endless thing that's in the future, and, you know, we're just keep aspiring towards, but never really getting any closer to. So hopefully the associations will come together now in the next couple of months and maybe set out a bit of a timeline over the winter and have something kind of more concrete set in stone for next season in terms of what the steps are towards merging. Because, yeah, like I said, I suppose the main thing is in the expenses, but like in exposure as well. And the ladies football has huge potential as well. There's great promotional powers within the LGFA as well. And it's a massive piece. You know, there is huge positives to the LGFA linking with the GAA as well. So hopefully now that we'll all kind of come together and be able to support ladies footballers and Camogie players a little bit better and just get that playing field a bit more even. It'll take a lot of pressure off in terms of like that monetary as well, but it's so stressful as well having to think of these kind of things, and you're putting massive stress on the body and maybe not being able to do the same kind of level of recovery as the lads might be able to do. Or there's a lot more I suppose planning an organization in terms of meals and different things like that. The lads get a bit more support in those ways as well, which all these things add up massively. So if we were able to kind of get those sort of supports in place as well, it would be huge.
Yeah, I think so. And I'm hoping, like you said, sooner rather than later that they can start putting all this into action. But I suppose bring it back to the final, Meath, they're going to bring a big challenge. And I suppose, what are you expecting from them? Or is it a case of expecting what we've been seeing for the last year or two from them?
Certainly last year, so the last year or two, they've been building massively. Last year, they were an absolute machine. I think they were just brilliant, and they were living on such a brilliant buzz as well, and rightly so. They were going very well, and they had huge confidence. I think, they have that unity, and they are very strong. There's no doubt about it, but they've gone a lot more defensive than they had previously, I think, which is a shame because they were brilliant. They've phenomenal forwards, and but I'm looking forward to hopefully getting out and kind of So the lads will do their homework. We haven't played them this year. We haven't really looked a huge amount at them because the only way we were going to meet them was in a final anyway. So we just hadn't even looked that far ahead yet. So now over the next week or two, we'll do a little bit of homework. But we're just excited to get back into Croke Park and play them again, because I know last year we played them in the league final and we were gutted after that game. We were a shell of ourselves that day. We definitely didn't do ourselves justice on the pitch. And I think to go out and give our performances, like, we'll be doing our homework on them. Like I said, we're not naive. All through this year, we've been addressing the opposition, because that's just part of what you have to do in terms of planning for games, but very much so still focusing on ourselves. So, like, we've been really sticking to our own processes and our own style of play, and making sure that we play our game. And I think that's what's made this year so positive for us, is that, like, we're really all enjoying playing football together, and we are playing our own game, and we're not bending towards the opposition all the time. So it's been really enjoyable going out on the pitch. So hopefully we can just go out and do that again in 2 weeks' time, and it doesn't matter too much who the opposition is. Once we can kind of get our performances under our belt, we'll be confident that we can put up a very, very good display.
Yeah, well, I want to wish you the best of luck. I'm not very neutral here now, to be fair. I'll have my Kerry colours on for the next 2 weeks, and hopefully in 2 weeks' time we'll be able to get you on again and we'll have a chat with you about being a Kerry All-Ireland winning captain. So best of luck, Anna, and I have the fingers crossed under the table here for a double. Well, that's all we have time for on today's show. Big thanks for Anna Galvin for joining me online, and for my two guests in studio, Kyle Coney and Keane Mackey. And join us next week, where we'll be talking about the football final, and fingers crossed I'll be a happy, happy Kerry man.
You're listening to the GAA Hour with Darren O'Sullivan on Sports Joe.
And it's all over. Jim Gowan, Jason Sherlock embrace. Dublin are the history makers.
Today, Sean Kavanagh, who is a brilliant footballer. But I tell you what, you can forget about Sean Kavanagh as far as he's a man.
O'Sullivan, oh, that was absolutely brilliant. What about that for skill from Darren O'Sullivan?
Kieran McDonald, it's high, it's over. Will he ever get a more vital one than that?
The transition talk, I think Joe Bradley told us the production line was finished in Kerry. Well, Joe Bradley, what do you think of that?